I'm Charlene. In these 20-minute podcasts, I talk with memoir writers about their books, their lives, and their writing process. Sharing like this helps us all connect. As we listen, we learn about the world through the eyes of others. Their stories help us expand our views and empathize more deeply with each other. It's my pleasure now to invite you to listen in to this episode of Life Story on Soul Sciences. Again, my listeners, we are here with Amy Fish today, and Amy is going to continue helping us understand what an ombudsperson does, helping us understand that there is a method behind all of it, talking to us about her wonderful, humorous, and very effective book, I Wanted Fries With That, How to Ask for What You Want and Get What You Need. Welcome back, Amy Fish.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what are the typical kinds of complaints and problems that you work with?
One thing that's very interesting about being an ombudsperson is that we have a wide range of complaints. So to take an example outside of the university, let's take an example from the airline world. You might have a complaint one day about someone who doesn't like the artwork in the airport, and it's really simple to solve. And then the next day, you might have a very complex case about maybe interpersonal issue that could take you 8 months to investigate. And one thing I talk about in the book is how, when you're going and talking to either an ombudsman or another complaint professional, how to be prepared and how to have your stuff with you to make it easier for the person to answer your concerns and answer your complaint.
And you do that well also when the person is doing it by email or by letter. You set up a couple of very powerful examples while saying that, you know, the person has to write a letter in their own voice. Your voice is this one, and this is how you would approach that. Extremely helpful. You have a very funny example there of someone who found non-kosher meat.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon, I believe, in a synagogue refrigerator.
Yes, that is a true story that came to me when I was speaking at a conference. I was giving a lunch and learn. And one thing I tell you in the book is that I was equally nervous that no one would show up and that too many people would show up. And it ended up being hugely crowded with four tables in this giant conference room. And so after I gave my talk, which was about how to deal with people complaining to you. So this was a talk for community workers, professionals, and it was how do you treat complaints when they come in? And somebody said, what should I have done in this situation? And so it was a religious organization where bacon, ham, all pork products are prohibited. And lo and behold, in the refrigerator, what do they find? But half a pound of some contraband meat. And so instead of looking for it discreetly, the person who saw it took a picture and copied the whole world. And it was quite embarrassing for everybody involved. In the example of bacon in the synagogue refrigerator, I think it could have been handled in a more discreet way by collecting data. What do I mean by collecting data? I mean, the person who saw it could have asked around and asked more questions about whose bacon it was and how it got there, because in the end, it turned out to have a very reasonable explanation where there was a mother and son who were working for the same establishment and who were not Jewish and could eat whatever they wanted. And in the son, instead of putting the bacon in the employee refrigerator, he accidentally put it in the main refrigerator. And so it didn't have to be embarrassing with tons of people being copied and a pall cast upon this organization. It could have been handled a lot more discreetly if the people involved would have taken the time to ask questions. I mean, I could have called it how to get bacon out of the refrigerator. Instead of collect data, I could have said, don't jump to conclusions, because that's really what I'm trying to communicate in that example.
Yes, exactly. And so often it seems to me that that is where the problem really arises, as we get a perspective and we make an assumption instead of standing back and thinking about it for a moment. Amy, what personally drove you to become an ombudsperson as opposed to the work you were doing prior?
What made me decide to become an ombudsperson, what drives me to get up every day and come to work, is, as I always tell my kids, I need to feel like I made a difference. And my skills are more administrative than hands-on. So another person who maybe would like to make a difference might think about a career in medicine or nursing or social work or some kind of athletic therapy. Those are not my strengths. My strengths are in organization, in investigating, in writing, in reading. And so taking my strengths combined with my goal of wanting to make the world a better place, that's what brought me to health administration and to working in being responsible for a nursing home. That's what made me responsible for working in community agencies and now in a university as the person who is in charge of promoting fairness.
Promoting fairness is a fabulous way of looking at it. It seems to me that we need more, like we need a diploma or a degree program in this really important work.
People do come and see us when they want to be heard. That's true. And one thing I talk about in the book is making sure that you're not using this because you want to be heard. Make sure that if you want to be heard, tell your complaint to your friend, tell your complaint to your, and I actually say in the book, you can tell your complaint to your 32-year-old parrot, Verdi, because my friend has a 32-year-old parrot named Verdi. Verdi is an actual real character that does exist, and I thought about specifically that green parrot when I gave that example, but my principle was that you need to think about why you're driven to complain at this moment, and if you just want to have your voice heard, there are other vehicles other than a complaint professional.
And I thought also that your writing, and including in the book, the story about the woman who had a wet bathing suit on with her daughter, is particularly well handled. Would you give us some more about that, please?
Yes, that story is brought by my friend Andy, who just happened to mention it to me when we were at a writing conference. We both go to Hippo Camp Writing Conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania every year. And Angie's a good friend of mine. And she was telling me this story. And then I asked her if I could use it for my book. And I wrote it up and I sent it to her. And you know, it was so interesting because the basic fundamental of the story is that Angie was not treated fairly because she's Black and I'm white. So you get into that whole privilege thing and that whole awkward thing. But I didn't want to have a book that didn't address racism at all, because that didn't seem right either. And Angie's story is such a good one. So I wrote it up and I sent it to her. And you know, she wrote me back and said, can you turn up the racism element a notch? Like, she was okay with me even turning it up. And so I went back and I was even more crystal clear about the fact that her brown skin might have impacted her inability to get on the kiddie coaster with her three-year-old.
That is so well handled. And this also took place in the South. It took place in,
right.
Was it Arkansas?
I don't remember, but then again, I'm Canadian. So right. She had to tell me it was in the South and say, don't forget that that's relevant, because what do I know? I have a passing familiarity with that culture, but I really am not well-traveled in the Southern U.S.
Yes. And so that was a real team effort there with your writing and with your friend, and really shows how important an ombudsperson's world may be in terms of understanding and hearing something that's being handled well as a complaint, because part of what you did in that writing was express how well Angie actually stood her ground. Understanding that it was a racist situation, she did not get hysterical. She did not become inflamed and outraged and all the things that we would attribute to racism. Instead, she kept asking for one manager and then another manager and then another manager until she got someone with whom she could have a conversation who was ready to give her something.
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. Had Angie become enraged and inflamed, I would have been totally fine with it, because it was a very enraging situation. And it must have been hugely challenging for her to keep her cool. But she had her eyes on the prize, which was, I'm taking this three-year-old on this roller coaster, and I'm going to make this work. And sometimes we have to talk to ourselves and remind ourselves that we're going to have to be as calm and breathe as deeply as we need to in order to make happen what we need to make happen.
Yes, and you bring this out in a couple of ways through the book, that the point is not necessarily that you need to get, like, if you are the complainant, you getting your emotional experience of yelling at someone and feeling, generally that backfires. Am I right? That's what your message is in the book?
In my opinion, it backfires. There are always people who call me and say, I yelled and screamed and I got on the flight. And then I say, then you don't need me. If you're handling your problem on your own and your methods are working, good for you. I'm here for people whose methods are not working, who need help, who need a reminder, who need a refresher, who have always thought of what they wanted to say once they walk away from the situation and wish that they had the words at their fingertips. That's who I wrote this book for.
Now, this might have been obvious to some listeners that are listening into this podcast, but I have to tell you, I did not understand that about ombudspersons, that everything is confidential.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very. It's locked. Our files are locked. If you come and see me or consult with me, anything I do is confidential, which is different than anonymous. I don't accept anonymous complaints,
okay.
But I don't reveal anyone's identity or disclose anybody I met with or any specific examples. That's why I have this joke in the book about how I give everyone a sex change, because when I'm complaining or writing about complaints, if they came to me professionally, I give such a makeover to the person that they're unrecognizable.
And that is along the lines of being a doctor, being a lawyer, being a guide, soul guide, a therapist, whatever you want to call it, a counselor. It's all in that same category. Do many of your complaints get into the court? Do they go as far as lawyers?
Oh, I have an excellent track record.
So that doesn't happen. That's the point of view, is to avoid that. Well, what is your next book?
Yes, I'm looking at a few new projects. I guess the next question would be, relating to, I wanted fries with that, what other kinds of complaining manuals are people looking for? And I have my eyes and ears open, some of my own thoughts, but I'm definitely open to suggestions about the next one, which I think will be in the same vein, but maybe targeted to a specific audience.
Aha, uh-huh. So you'll have a more specific sense of what the area is and then cover it more deeply. That's wonderful, Amy. Is there some small thing or large thing you would like to suggest to our listeners in terms of complaining? Any general comments that you'd like people to really have as a takeaway besides what I think people should do, which is buy your book and read it?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
It's
thank
true,
you.
It has.
My number one takeaway is that complaining works. It doesn't work if you're quiet. Speaking up works. So don't get caught up in if you're speaking up well, if you're saying the right thing, if you're saying the right person. Yes, I give you all these tips, but the number one thing I want you to remember, if you speak up and use your voice, it will be heard.
Wonderful.
If you stay quiet, there's no chance of fixing your problem. So please, please use your voice.
And I'm going to add to that, if you don't mind me being a bit presumptuous and adding to it by saying that you might think that your complaint is a small one, or you might think that you're the only one who's ever had this complaint, but I think the chances are very, very high, highly stacked, large percentage. Whatever you are complaining about and getting resolved helps it for other people.
100%.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's been a delight and a pleasure. We look
forward. Thank you.
Forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
That's it. That's all for today. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that lovely music, Carefree. And many thanks to all of you who make these podcasts possible. Remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.